Reenchanting Humanity, Owen Strawn, Christian Focus, 2019, 432 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Kristen Burkett. About the author, Dr. Owen Strawn is Provost and Research Professor of Theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary. He earned his Ph.D. from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, his M.Div. from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and his A.B. from Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. Contents, Introduction. Chapter 1, Image. Chapter 2, Depravity. Chapter 3, Work. Chapter 4, Sexuality. Chapter 5, Race and Ethnicity. Chapter 6, Technology. Chapter 7, Justice. Chapter 8, Contingency. Chapter 9, Christ. General Summary. A survey of the current Western secular worldview and an analysis of it as a neo-pagan religion. Introduction. In our skeptical secularist era, we need to see humanity afresh and restore confidence in the biblical doctrine of humanity, which is not only true, but good for us. The question of our age is, does a human have an appointed identity, or do we make our own identity? Chapter 1, Image. In 1966, Time magazine asked, "Is God dead?" Now the question is man dead? We are no longer seen as the creation of God, but an accidental animal with no telos, no ethics, here to create our own realities. The theological vision of the human race has dissipated. The highbrow crowd are atheist, while others traffic in strange and often non-logical range of beliefs. But most agree we should be free to express our own self-conception with self-determination and self-authenticity. I create my own meaning. Christians believe to know ourselves we must know the will of God for His creation. We are the apex of His creation, in His image, no accident. We are here to rule the whole earth. We have great responsibility and explosive potential. We are testament to the reality of divinity and not like other animals. Creation belongs to God and is not God. Evolution, ironically, created a kind of pantheism and requires more faith than biblical Christianity. Within it, love has no logical basis, neither does positivity, love, nor confidence in anything. Yet, people still live as if they have meaning, because we are image bearers and so cannot help it. Secularists cheat, espousing meaninglessness, but embracing meaning. God made and breathed life into Adam. We have a mind so that we may know the Lord. Man alone is an embodied soul. There is no tension or ranking between body and soul. We are dependent on our Creator. Our nature is theocentric. We are covenantal. We were created in God's image. Views on image include substantive, rationality, relational, representative, ruling the earth, and others. Best view is ontological reality that leads into function. Image does not reduce to intelligence and is not inhibited by physical deficiency and is not lost in the fall. We represent God whether we believe or feel like it or not. We therefore rule, subdue, and multiply, and have rationality and relationship. We are made for obedient worship. The true image is Christ, who took on flesh to give embodied worship to God. Worship is the end of humanity. This is the basis of meaningful and joyful existence. If you do not start with God, you will never comprehend man. Our soul is us. We are spiritual and embodied. We must present our bodies to God as acceptable worship, Romans 12:1. Worship takes place every second of every day for the believer. We still exist eternally in either heaven or hell, and we in Christ are under attack from sinful desires, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The stakes are high. In the West of recent centuries, the nature of humanity has been rebelled against. miracles, supernaturalism, createdness, all dismissed. We will strive for significance, but in a de-theologized man. We spiritualize ourselves. Sexuality is spiritualized as what fulfills us. Universe is spiritualized, especially the earth. Prosperity theology makes the Bible fundamentally about us. Spiritualized self-help through self-realization, food, yoga, etc. But none can give hope or a true end or re-enchant humanity. Only God, exaltation, can. Chapter 2. Depravity. The fall is the greatest tragedy of the human race. We have infinite worth, but we have lost God. Positivity alone will not overcome this. The serpent hunted the man who was made to rule over him. God gave clear freedom and boundaries to humanity. Adam did not create his own destiny. Man is contingent and covenantal, but turned to the anti-God who keeps no covenant. The serpent lied about God and accused God of lying. It offered death, for mankind was not made to become God, although we hear that teaching throughout our culture. The woman attempted to gain wisdom, but by doing so rejected wisdom, and the man acquiesced. Purity and innocence were lost. Bodies were seen as shameful. The beginning of all dysphoria and bodily insecurity. They tried to hide from God. The man blames his wife, anti-marriage. The woman, the serpent. But justice cannot be escaped, and the curse is pronounced. A fourfold death. One, judicial. Adam is guilty. Two, spiritual. He has welcomed evil and loses God's fellowship. Three, physical. Four, eternal. Therefore, all people die. We all fell in Adam, just as we all sin personally. We make good on the sinful nature gained through Adam's fall. Our union with Adam is representative and federal, and we are desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, and cannot please God. Types of sin. 1. Sin of culpable ignorance. 2. We make errors. 3. We reject God's wisdom. 4. We rebel against God. 5. We sin due to lack of integrity. We become perverse. Yet humankind is straining to shut its eyes to the reality of indwelling sin. Our one hope is in Christ. Chapter 3. Work. The Bible calls us to worship God, work a lot, rest easily, and play some. But those who do not worship God find something with which to replace Him. Scripture gives us right balance. Adam worked pre-fall. It is a blessing. It becomes hard in the fall, but not something to escape. Fulfillment is finding the right work, driven by the right cause. We work for God from the heart. And thus all believers serve Christ every day. The perfect job is in the age to come. The best is not now. So we are free to glorify God in all kinds of work. God rested on the seventh day. Rest is charged with the holy satisfaction and resulting joy of God. Israelites emulated the Creator by resting and showing dependence on God. In sleep, we welcome our creatureliness. Eschatologically, to know Christ by faith is to enter His rest. There will be no frustrated striving in the new creation, but final rest in which we serve and exult in God. In the year of liberty, people were not to work. Feasting and celebration are recurrent themes. In Old Testament and New Testament, God's victory is celebrated with feasting. Leisure is good. Let us not waste it in childish entertainment. We are free. The question is, how am I going to harvest all this happiness with the time I have? Chapter 4. Sexuality. There are men and there are women. A controversial statement these days, but reality reflects what Scripture tells us is true. The first man had a home and duties, an agency but not autonomy. He was under God's lordship and made for marriage. He needed a helper. Adam named and demonstrated leadership over animals, but only the woman was fit to help him populate the earth. Man and woman, marriage and sex are good, and they continue despite pain after the fall. Men are meant to exercise God, honoring strength, spiritual in nature, and grounded in sound doctrine. Godly women show beauty in the fear of God. Her work of creating a home is beautiful, Titus chapter 2, verse 5, and spiritual. Her strength is feminine and theological, Proverbs chapter 31. Satan wants husbands and wives to battle because marriage is the visible sign of Christ's love for His church. But the antidote is a marriage that mirrors Christ and the church, Ephesians 5. This doctrine is what attracted women to the church originally. It is good. Singleness is also honorable and is a chance to demonstrate that spirituality is our identity, not sexuality. Childbirth is a blessing from God. Children are to be trained in godliness. All people are to serve the Lord inside and outside the home, following God-given duties. Such theology is transformative. Humans have disobedient hearts, and the 21st century has seen neo-pagan spiritualizing of sexuality. Transgender both rejects and embraces gender essentialism and conflicts with the feminism that created it. The feminism championing women's rights is now considered old-fashioned. The post-gender person tries to create a new humanity. Cross-dressing was one of the sins that especially offended God, regardless of motive. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 reinforces the reality of male and female grounded in the Trinity. Androgynous culture is challenged now as it was then. Holding to biblical and biological truth is never hateful. God forbids homosexual conduct, Old Testament and New Testament. Neo-paganism is displacement theology and spirituality. It is idolatry, and homosexuality functions as the logical end of pagan theology. It reflects rebellion against and abandonment by God. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 teaches, "We must not allow ourselves to be dragged away by our own fleshly desires, acting as our own tempters and enticers. We regularly act as our own worst enemies. We have an inborn hunger for evil. We sin because we want to. Desire are not usually neutral. Homosexual desire should be confessed and repented of. Christ mastered temptation. We must and should too, inspired by Him." The church has rarely put the pieces together in the area of sexual ethics. It is a systematic worldview of neo-paganism, the anti-wisdom of the serpent, which deconstructs ordered reality and replaces it with a new order, an anti-order ruled by the devil. There is no creator, no divine design, no male or female, no script for sexuality, no God-designed family, no need to protect and care for children, no savior, lord, or theistic end to the cosmos, and no judge of evil. It reduces the world to an ash-gray sameness. Transgenderism is not just part, but the apotheosis of this view. Feminism, postmarital sexual libertinism, transgenderism, and homosexuality are all part of neo-paganism. Neo-paganism is the major competitor for the hearts and minds of Western people. But we are not enslaved to sin. In Christ, we are regenerated. Chapter 5. Race and Ethnicity. Oneness is not sameness in Eden. In Revelation, purchased people are from every nation. Races will be united in Christ. Fallen humanity is sinful and exalts itself at Babel. God's punishment was to separate peoples who would sinfully hate one another. God calls Israel to be a light among the nations, part of which involved hospitality to aliens, and God planned eventually to include all nations. Race and ethnicity are contested terms, and both reflect great harm done historically. God's diversity is nonetheless good. We should use these terms to celebrate His creativity, not to divide. God loved Israel and fought for her against attacking nations, spurred on by Satan. Psalm 67 shows this hostility will someday stop. The Old Testament ends with no peace on earth, but Jesus created a new nation, uniting all through His blood. Identity is foremost in Him, fulfilling the Abrahamic promise, creating one new man. Jesus is the only hope for unity in the world. He is the new creation, and in the age to come, all His people who are spiritually ingathered and indwelt by the Spirit will physically live with Him in the remade cosmos. Reflecting this in church needs effort, so we must be honest about past and present racist sin. Model humility in reconciliatory work. Have a Christocentric unity. Chapter 6. Technology. God created wonders, especially the human body, which we can recreate. Technology appears from Genesis. We have a God-given ability used to challenge God at Babel. That tendency to use good technology in pride remains. The craftsman Bezalel and others glorify God. Aaron crafts an idol. God crafts a God-man as Savior, and Jesus has power over creation. Our technology is good, but God's is far greater. We can and will create marvels, but will never become gods. Matter and craftsmanship are good, used by Jesus, but He died on a torture device. Scripture is written and spread through technology, but technology is also used to oppose and persecute Christians. It brings life and death. We appreciate technology, but we know it will not save us nor defeat us. Death is overcome by resurrection, not technology. We reject both posthumanism, nihilistic and transhumanism, which offers salvation by genetic engineering. A symptom of the anti-human views is abortion, which makes war on bodies, and the obsessive idealization of the body. Internet enables body commodification and pornography, both enslaving. Addiction to digital culture increases depression and suicide. We need to reevaluate technology theologically. Chapter 7. Justice. Justice is biblical. Secular culture celebrates it without asking how it fits their worldview. A thirst for rightness exists alongside indifference to the God of righteousness and says justice depends on us, but it needs Christ. Genesis 4 proves original sin was not isolated when Cain slew Abel. God sees and judges rightly. People suffer in this life, and God cares, with a special love for the underdog. Imprecatory psalms come from places of injustice. Scripture condemns injustice and oppression. His people are called to act justly and call upon God to exercise justice, for we cannot fix the world. God can. The death of Christ is the Bible's greatest word on divine justice, when Jesus met all the terms of divine justice. In Christ, the repentant sinner is pronounced innocent. This is the solution to the primary justice problem in the world and proves that ultimate justice is coming. Every evil scheme will be undone. In the meantime, we seek justice in the world whenever we can, but know that promoting the gospel is the most effective. We know the state is not Savior. We worship the Lord, submit to authorities, and oppose injustice, knowing that without God there is no justice. Chapter 8. Contingency. Today, a secularist, neo-pagan culture challenges human frailty, and we resist limits, but we are creatures. The Bible says we are contingent, dependent on God. Example, Nebuchadnezzar. We depend upon Him for existence, purpose, meaning, and the discovery of hope. We are also depraved, and even when saved, struggle with sin. We have agency, but are not unfettered. We live in time, and our days are numbered, however much we deny it. It should drive us instead to worship and see our time as a gift. In Christ, our past is washed. We now live in resurrection time, so we have present meaningfulness and future security. We die and cannot stop it. In Christ, We can face this, for death is overcome. Resurrection means we need not fear death. The devil is defeated. Good death is not euthanasia, but sacrificing oneself for the weak. Chapter 9. Christ. Humans desire enchantment, and we have it in the Lord's Messiah. The Old Testament looked for a greater future. Christ came supernaturally, humbly, and in reality. He was normal but perfect, tempted as we are, but unsinning. Therefore, he could atone fully. He had the Spirit, empowered for marvelous deeds and to die. He was the second Adam, and true image and king. We advance his kingdom when we trust in him and make disciples. He makes possible our union with him, drawing spiritual life from him. Faith unites us with him, and he will not abandon us. Christ is the solution to disenchantment. Biblical Christology, anthropology is ontological. We are given substance and meaning by God. Harmartiological, we are fallen. Vocational, we have worth. Sexual, although this is not fundamental. Unitive, in Christ we are one. Creativity, we create for God's glory. Ethical, explains our thirst for justice. Contingent, teleological, we are headed somewhere. This is Scripture's view of man, Christological and covenantal. Anthropology is inescapable from sound theology. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.